This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Construction has begun on a new 11-acre school scheduled to open in the summer of 2017.
St. Augustine Preparatory Academy will be the latest school to open on Milwaukee's south side with a target population in mind.
Founder and Waukesha businessman Gus Ramirez has said he wants the private K-12 institution to educate primarily Latino students and families.
That'll put St. Augustine in a pool with several existing Southside schools like St. Anthony's and Bruce Guadalupe that already aim to serve families in Milwaukee's Latino community. What specific educational needs does the population have, and how do these schools in particular meet them?
That's the question Lake Effect's Rachel Morello posed to Enrique Figueroa, director of the Roberto Hernandez Center at UW-Milwaukee.
I think it's two words, bilingualism and biculturalism. There's a number of schools that have been operating in the South Side, and obviously in the North Side as well, but in the South Side that have specifically targeted Latino kids. And I think the original purpose was that the public schools were not doing a very good job of educating both Latinos and African American kids. And there was, you know, people that said, well, look, let's see if we can come up with an alternative. So Nativity Jesuit, St. Anthony's, Bruce Guadalupe, a number of those schools are either charter or choice schools, and they specifically target Latinos, primarily because a lot of parents do not speak English at all or not very well, so that those schools have staff and teachers that are bilingual, and a number of them are bicultural. And that really, I think, contributes to the parents being more engaged. I think that's the principal reason that I would say that these schools have, for the most part, been successful. Obviously, some of them have not been as successful. But, you know, St. Anthony's now considered, I think, the largest school and Catholic school in the whole country.
So you mentioned a target towards non-English speakers or English language learners. Parents.
Yes.
What's to say, just to play devil's advocate, that if a few more bilingual or bicultural people were added to the public school system, that wouldn't do the same job? What's the difference of doing that versus building an entirely new school with those people inside?
I would say that parents just got tired of waiting, that this is nothing new. I mean, people know that this, you know, the Latino population has been increasing in MPS since I've been here. I think it's now 23% of the total student body of MPS that are Latino kids. I think parents just said that they didn't see it happening. I actually wrote an op-ed piece on the school that Gus Ramirez, supporting the school. And one of the statistics that I used was that there's one African-American teacher in MPS, this was 2014 data, there was one African-American teacher for every 59 African-American kids in MPS. There was one Latino teacher for every, I think, 51 or 52 Latino kids. And there was one white teacher for every two white kids. So there was this huge disparity, at least ethnically, between who the teachers were and who the students were. Now, obviously, it's not that, you know, white teachers can't teach black kids or Latino kids, but I think for the most part, there is a cultural dimension and there is a language dimension that needs to be dealt with, particularly with Latino kids and their parents.
I know this is treading into some murky waters a bit, but obviously segregation is something that we talk about in Milwaukee, maybe more than some other cities. Is there a danger, even though it's helpful to have those services, services for parents who don't speak English, or I guess more broadly, services specific to different cultures? Is there a danger in separating those different cultures? Would that contribute to the problem? Is there ever hope that maybe the public schools can make those disparities less? Or is this the way of the future, do you think?
Well, unfortunately, if you look at suburban schools and look at the prevalence of Latino or African-American kids in those schools and the lack of prevalence of African-American or Latino teachers, that's already there. That separation has already taken place. And in fact, the reason you have such a large number of Latinos and African Americans in Milwaukee Public Schools is because all the white kids left. So it's not that these schools are being created, it's that that's just the result of what people call white flight. That to me is at the root of things. The schools are more segregated now than before busing started, and busing was designed to alleviate segregation.
I know that Mr. Ramirez has said he wants there to be a religious component to his school, and obviously that's a component in St. Anthony's. Is that something that's specifically important to that population?
You know, historically, there's this notion that Catholic schools are expensive schools to go to, not only in this country, but in Central and South America, you know. Catholic schools, or any kind of religious school, but it's mostly Catholic schools, are expensive, and thereby people associate quality with the cost. So the association made by parents is that they say, well, this must be a better school because it's a Catholic school. So I think that plays a role. For some families, I think it also plays a role, the fact that they're religious families and they want their kids to have a religious dimension to their educations. But I don't think everybody that sends their kids to Catholic school, for example, are necessarily Catholics.
Are there other considerations besides language or, like you said, biculturalism, religion, that are made when you take a school and open it up specifically to a particular population?
I think proximity or geography has a role. As you know, Mr. Ramirez is going to put his school, and you'll see a number of these other schools that have been in existence for a while. They're in areas where there's a relatively large number of Latino households. So that plays a role, because if you're a private school, you know, there's no buses. You've got to make sure that it's your parents' responsibility to take the kids there. So the closer you are, the easier it is.
You said you wrote an op-ed in support of this school. Do you still support the idea of the school?
Yes.
Why is it something you support?
Because the schools that are currently out there have large waiting lists. So that's clearly, I'm an economist, so there's a clearly implied demand by the Latino households for these types of educational institutions. And two, is that those statistics that I gave you about the teacher-student ratios, that MPS has to address that. And they will not address it until they feel the pinch of students leaving because they're not meeting their needs.
Do you think that the fact that the St. Augustine School is starting up, is it a matter of the more the merrier with schools like that and St. Anthony and Bruce Guadalupe? Or do you think there might be some tension there competing to get those families?
The unknown is, if you open a new school, and let's, I'm just picking numbers, and you have 100 new students, for example, how many of those 100 came from MPS as compared to how many of those 100 came from an existing charter or choice school? I don't know, and I don't think anybody really collects that kind of data. So theoretically, if it's 90-10, 90 coming from MPS and 10 from another charter, then there is not much competition. But if it's 50-50 or flip side the other way, then yes, you're taking away Paul to go over here. But I don't know whether that data exists or not. The data clearly shows that MPS has been losing kids, and the charter and choice schools have been growing. So the implication is that most of that growth has come from kids leaving MPS.
Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, I'm glad to do it.
Enrique Figueroa is director of the Roberto Hernandez Center at UW-Milwaukee. He spoke with WUWM education reporter Rachel Morello.